BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Syrian rebel forces of the Islamist group HTS have advanced deep into Aleppo, the country's second city, on the third day of their surprise offensive against forces loyal to President Assad. Video footage appears to show rebel fighters raising their flag in Aleppo's historic citadel. The BBC's James Reid has this report.
For several years, the conflict in Syria appeared frozen, with the rebels confined to their last stronghold in Idlib. Now events are moving with shocking speed. More and more videos are emerging of opposition fighters celebrating in the centre of Aleppo and occupying major landmarks. The Syrian army regained control of Aleppo 8 years ago after a long and bloody siege, with help from Russia, Iran and Hezbollah. But with his allies now mired in other conflicts, President Assad's regime looks suddenly vulnerable.
Georgian police have used water cannon and tear gas and demonstrators who've turned out in their thousands near the parliament building in Tbilisi for a second night running against government plans to postpone accession to European Union membership. Georgia's pro-Western president Salome Zurabishvili, at loggerheads with the ruling party, said the resistance movement had begun and she would stand by it. Rehan Dimitri is in Tbilisi among the demonstrators.
I'm hearing now in the distance what sounds like perhaps more tear gas. This and the whole crowd is booing. And from this side of the avenue, more people are arriving. They are saying that this is the last chance for them to save Georgia's democracy and to save this country from being dragged back into Russia's orbit.
The Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has said that if NATO were to offer guaranteed protection to parts of the country controlled by Kyiv, it could end the hot stage of the war with Russia. Russian forces have occupied about one-fifth of Ukraine since Moscow launched the full-scale invasion in 2022. Here's Paul Adams.
In a long, wide-ranging interview on Sky News, he was asked if he would accept NATO membership, but only on the territory Kyiv currently holds. Mr. Zelensky said any NATO offer would have to be made to the whole country. If that happened, and territory under Ukrainian control quickly came under the NATO umbrella, then this might help to end what he called the hot stage of the war. The suggestion is highly theoretical. As Mr. Zelensky pointed out, no one has yet made such an offer. Lots of people were proposing ceasefires, he said, but without a mechanism to prevent Russia from attacking again, ceasefires were simply too dangerous.
BBC News. The British Parliament has backed proposals to allow terminally ill adults in England and Wales the right to end their own lives. The assisted dying bill was passed by a majority of 55 and will now go to the next parliamentary stage for further scrutiny. Kim Leadbeater is the MP who proposed the bill.
I believe the bill is in a very, very good place, but if there are things that need to change, amendments that need to be put forward, let's have that conversation. It'll be a long process, so there's plenty of time to get this right. We've got past the second reading now, and it's our job to make this happen for the many people that I know it needs so much to.
Several countries already permit assisted dying, including Spain, the Netherlands, Canada, New Zealand and Australia, but rules vary. The proposals in Britain are considered among the world's strictest. Namibia's main opposition presidential candidate has urged people to continue casting their ballots after voting was controversially extended following logistical and technical failures. The Independent Patriots for Change party described the extension as illegal and alleges electoral fraud. An exit poll following the end of voting in Ireland's general election suggests a tight race between the three main parties. It suggests the leftist nationalist Sinn Féin is fractionally ahead of the centre-right Fine Gael, with the latter's outgoing coalition partner Fianna Fáil very close behind. Counting will not begin until Saturday. Swiss prosecutors have charged one of the country's biggest and oldest private banks, Lombard Odier, and one of its former employees with aggravated money laundering. The Attorney General's office said the charges follow an investigation into long-standing corruption allegations against Gulnara Karimova, the jailed daughter of Uzbekistan's former president Islam Karimov. Lombard Odier denies wrongdoing. BBC News.